Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show right here on 100.3 FM Gospel Music Omaha. We're so glad that you have been with us. If you're listening to this in real time, this is the last episode of Season 8 for us. And this is quite an achievement that we have been on for over 350 episodes. Can you believe it? We're really cranking them out, and God is doing a wonderful work. And sometimes you just go from week to week to week and you wonder if anybody is listening. And then all of a sudden, someone, you come across them in the grocery store or wherever it is that you're at, and they say, "Oh, I listen to your broadcast all the time." And it's like, wow, just because you don't always see the fruits of your labor doesn't mean that you're not producing the fruits of your labor. So I want to encourage you out there, if you have a vision, you have something you've been working on and working toward, and you've been putting in the work, and maybe you don't feel like you've seen the fruits of your labor the way you want to, trust and believe that that fruit is there. And it's not up to us to determine how exactly that apple grows on the tree. It's just our responsibility to plant the seeds. That's what the Bible tells us to do, is that we're supposed to be planting the seeds so that God can make it grow. It says one man plants, another man waters, but God brings the increase. We can't always determine how that increase gets to us or how it manifests itself. But we know that if we plant the seed, that God will bring the harvest. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and bring that verse up since I'm quoting it.
I hope everybody has joined us, because I don't see anybody. So.
They're on their way. They're coming, because, you know, it takes a few minutes sometimes for the notifications out there on social media to get out there and for people to respond to them. But the verse that I just got done quoting was 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to pull it up here for those that are watching this on a video. And he's talking about feeding believers. So in context, he's talking about feeding believers. He says, starting in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So in modern English, that means that He knows that they're not very mature in the faith. So he's saying, I can't give you some of the more, you know, the philosophical, the deeper things, but I'm going to have to speak to you as unto carnal. Carnal means just as the flesh, or as just regular life, or mundane, and not of the more spiritual things. So he's talking, he's got to come to them in a natural way, rather than a philosophical way. So he's saying, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So new believers, they're not experienced in the faith. So he's breaking it down. You know, we have a phrase in our modern day, we say, explain it to me like I'm five. So that's kind of what he's saying here. I'm gonna break it down to you. I'm gonna explain it to you like you're five. He says, in 1 Corinthians 3:2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." It's just like you have a newborn baby. You can't feed a newborn baby steak. They can't process. They don't even have teeth yet, much less anything else. You got to give them milk when they're babies. Now, the neat thing about this, though, is that milk and meat both come from the same animal, and you're getting a lot of the same nutrients, whether it's milk or meat, but you kind of have to start off with the easier things that are more digestible before you can get to the things that require a deeper level of, in the natural sense, your digestive system, your teeth, and all that other stuff have to be in place before you can really consume meat and have it benefit you. But both milk and meat both come from the same source, if that makes sense. So he's basically saying God is the source of all this knowledge and wisdom and understanding. But if I have to give you something more simple so that we can get you started and get the foundation together, that's perfectly fine. And if you think about it, in the natural sense, when a baby cow is drinking milk from the mother cow, that cow is going to grow up to be hundreds or even thousands of pounds by the time it becomes an adult. And that milk is what actually helps that cow to grow into the maturity that needs to be. So a baby cow doesn't even start off with grass as its primary diet. It starts off with milk. Now, as it grows up, it's able to eat grass when it gets older. But when it starts off, it's starting off with the basics. And the basics have all the nutrition that is needed. Side note, if you are having a baby and you're a mom and you're having a baby, I do highly encourage you to breastfeed your child because of the same principle. That child is going to get not only every single nutrient that it needs from mother's milk, but it's also getting all of the benefits of your immune system. So all the things that your body as an adult has acquired over time to be able to fight off illnesses and to be healthy, your mother's milk provides that to a child unlike anything else. You can feed a baby formula, and formula has some things that a child needs, but there is nothing more superior than mother's milk for a baby. And so right now,
I breastfed my children.
You did?
Every single one of my children, I breastfed them. And they are very healthy and so on and so forth.
Not only that, breastfeeding your child creates a connection with your child that is unique to no other. It is a time of life. I don't know who this is for. Maybe this is encouraging someone who's considering whether or not to breastfeed. There is a relationship between a mother and her child that cannot be duplicated by any other relationship, because that child literally lived within you for its full gestational period. And when you breastfeed with that child, that creates a bond and a season of life that will never happen again. There is no relationship in a person's life that is closer than the one that they had with their mother in a natural sense. There is no relationship. The father can't breastfeed a child. Now, he can hold the child up to a breast. He can make it, he can make a facsimile of breastfeeding by putting a bottle in the right position and all those things. But it is not the same as all of the pheromones, the hormones, the oxytocin, all of the things that you and the child both get and benefit from breastfeeding. I highly encourage it. It creates a bond. It creates a connection. It's something that no one will ever have. Between the two of you, it's unique among no other. And to just let somebody else have that by bottle feeding, there's nothing to matter with bottle feeding if you have a medical reason to do so. But if you do have the ability to breastfeed your child, there's an emotional and a spiritual connection that comes along with that physical nourishment that will never happen again.
I can speak as a mother that the reason when I talk to friends of mine, they said that they could not breastfeed because they had to get right back to work. And let me tell you something. I just felt my heart breaking, because that is the most, it just broke my heart. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But if you can breastfeed, I breastfed my children, and I would say do it. It don't care about, oh, my nipples hurt or this hurt. It does get some getting used to. Sometimes you have your children that are hard to latch. If they're hard to latch, that's because one of the nurses or doctors or somebody fed them a bottle. So you do have to check them. You have to check them nurses and check them doctors. Make sure they put up a sign that says breastfed only, because they actually gave my son to somebody else because my son was a redhead and very, very white, basically white. He looked white and he has red hair. So they said they didn't, and I look dark, see? So they had him on a bottle, and I said, what is he doing? I had to find him first. They gave him to the wrong woman. They gave him to the woman that was next to me. And the woman that was next to me was a total, complete, like, what is going on? This is not my baby. So just so you know, it's important that you keep up with and watch these nurses and doctors. I'm sorry. Yep, I'm saying it. Nurses and doctors, watch them. Watch them. Because if you don't, you'll be like one of my... And it was lucky that I was still able to get my son Aram latched on. It was lucky. I'm telling you. I'm not going to say lucky. I'm going to say blessed that I could still get him to latch on to me and to stay latched on to me. Because they sure did. I gave him a bottle. It was something called Similac, something like that. Something like that. So
Anyways.
Yeah. Your newborn is only going to be that age and that stage once ever in life. Mm-hmm. And once your child becomes an adult, they'll be an adult for the rest of their life. But when they're a child, those moments, once they're gone forever. So I do encourage you to take those moments with that. So that was kind of a side note to what it is that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So he's saying he's got to speak to you in the natural way, because some of the more complex matters of teaching, or some of the deeper things, they weren't ready for. So the people he was talking to, they were new in Christ. He was speaking to them as babes in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat because you weren't ready for it, or you weren't able. He says, for you are yet carnal. You operating in the flesh. You still thinking with a worldly or base mindset. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So what he's saying is, if you're still vying for position and you're still creating divisions and you still have chaos and confusion in your relationships in your church, that means that you're still carnal minded. You're still fleshly minded. You haven't progressed to the maturity in the faith. And there are a lot of things that happen like that in our churches, do they not? We have people that envy other people because of what they have or don't have, or the position they hold. We covet their positions. We have people that create drama. So that word strife is like, in modern time, we would say, oh, that person, here they come. They got that drama. They always creating drama. Well, that's that word strife. It's that conflict. It's that constant, we're not peaceable with each other. We're vying for things. We're creating stress, that sort of thing. Divisions, that we're dividing ourselves up because of this reason or that reason or this thing or that thing. He says, if you're doing those things, you have not advanced to spiritual maturity. You're still walking in the flesh. You're still carnally minded. So in verse 4, he says, while one says, well, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? He's basically saying, in modern day, we will say, well, I follow T.D. Jakes. And somebody else says, well, I follow Creflo Dollar. And somebody else says, well, I follow Joel Osteen. And somebody else says, I follow. So, another way we could say it is, well, I'm a Pentecostal. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Kojic. And we have these different denominations, and we kind of wearing them like gang flags or tribal flags, like, you know, this our team right here. You know, we team Kojic over here. This how we do over here. And then you got the Lutherans over here, and they saying, oh, no, this is the way. And then you got the AMEs over here, and they saying, no, we got it right here. That's kind of what he was describing here in this verse 4, where he says, while one says I'm of Paul and another says I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, it's beyond denominations. And that's really the message for the body of Christ today, is that it is beyond denominations, that what unites us should be more important than what divides us. Now, I'm not talking about the core doctrines of the faith. Let's be clear. In the essentials, there must be unity. But in the non-essentials, we can have that diversity. We can have that range of expression of faith. So what are the essentials? The essentials is that God is one, expressed in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that we were all born into sin because of the first sin of Adam. And because of that, sin has entered into the world. And because of that sin has separated us from a holy God. But God, because he wanted to redeem humankind to himself, he came to earth as a child born of a virgin. Jesus, Emmanuel, is fully God, fully God divine, fully Amen. Divine and fully human. God with us. Right. He lived, he ministered, he proved that he could keep all of the law and the prophets, that he was a prophesied Messiah. He died for the sins of all humanity. After 3 days, he was raised from the dead, proving his victory over death, hell, and the grave. And that he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and that one day he will come again to establish his kingdom. Those are the essentials. If we agree on those things, we can have flexibility with the non-essentials, whether or not you sprinkle or you dunk when you baptize, whether or not you think it's a pre-trib or a post-trib rapture, whether or not you think women should wear hats in church, whether or not you think that, you see what I'm saying? Those things are non-essentials. Those things will not determine whether or not you enter into the kingdom of God or you are saved. But it does matter if you don't believe that it is by grace through faith alone that you are saved and not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're adding works to it, if you're saying a person not only has to be saved, but they also have to do something else, if you're adding something to salvation, well, that doctrine we can't agree on. But if you're saying that, yes, Jesus is the only way, there is no other way other than Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except through me. If we agree on those things, then we can have flexibility and diversity. So that's what he's calling out here in 1 Corinthians 3:4, where he's saying, well, you know, we follow this doctrine over here or this person, and we follow this denomination or this teacher over here. He's saying that's carnal. We need to come above that, because there is a time coming when this world is already setting itself up to be very anti-Christian.
Right.
And when you,
right,
as a believer in Christ, are confronted with this anti-Christ, anti-Christian system, they're not really going to care whether or not you Kojic, Baptist, AME. They're not going to care about that. They're going to say, do you believe in Jesus? You're going to say yes or no, and they're going to respond to you accordingly. If you say Jesus is the only way to the Father, they're not going to care whether or not you got baptized, sprinkled, or dunked. They're going to say you are accepting Jesus, so we are rejecting you. The Bible says that darkness hates the light, not just that it is annoyed by it, but that it hates the light. And they are not going to care what denomination you are. It's going to be all about Jesus. And as the body of Christ, we need to get there now and understand that it's all about Jesus, and it's not about what denomination or what church or what primary teacher you follow. It's all about Jesus, and we need to let that other stuff be demoted, as it should be, as being less important than us having the fellowship of Christ in his sufferings and in his resurrection. So continuing on is 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So what he's saying is, it doesn't matter if you came to Christ through this denomination or that denomination. You came to Christ, and that's what matters. In verse 6, which is where I was heading, it says, I have planted, this is Paul talking, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. So what I see in that is that it doesn't matter if the things that you've been doing to plant those seeds in life, those don't matter as much as God giving the increase. And he says in verse 7, so then neither is he that plants anything, but neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, or one and the same. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So you will get a reward for planting seeds, for watering seeds, to keeping your hand to the work of the ministry, or keeping your hand to the work of whatever it is God has called you to do. It says it doesn't matter whether your role is the planter or the person that waters. When the increase comes, God is going to provide that reward, because he's the one that gives the increase and he's the one that gives the reward. It says in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And you say, what you mean we're the husband to God? That word husbandry is the same word in modern times as we would say in a garden. The husbandman is the one that tends the garden. So it doesn't mean husband like husband and wife. Although when we use the words husband and wife, what that means is that the husband is supposed to be maintaining and ministering to and taking care of and causing to grow his wife. That's where the word husband comes from. The word husband, when we say husband and wife, comes from the root word of husbandry, which is to tend and keep and cause to grow in a garden.
Right. Right.
So in case you didn't know that, that's why it makes no sense to say you are wife and wife. Well, there's no husband there.
Yikes.
And it makes no sense to say husband and husband, because all that would mean is that you're both co-laboring, but there's no garden to co-labor. Right. If you're both husbands,
right,
there's no garden, meaning the wife. And if you're wife and wife, there is no husbandry happening. There's no masculine energy to create that protection, that provision, that cause of increase and causing to grow. Now, obviously, we're all human beings. We're all adults. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all have the ability under the Holy Spirit to grow and become the best that we can be, because that's ultimately the Holy Spirit's job. God's job. God is our ultimate husbandman, if I can say it that way, because ultimately he is the one that takes care of each and every one of us. But in a natural sense, he's saying here in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. What it means is that he is using each one of us as we are stewards to bring God's glory into this world by living according to Christ. When we live according to Christ, we are expressing the glory of God. We are showing the physical reflection of God's glory through us. We're not God's. It says here, we're God's husbandry. We're God's building. In other words, we shine his light. We are his image. Just like it says in Genesis, we are made in the image of God. We express God's glory when we live for Christ. And when we plant seeds and when we water seeds, he is the one that provides the increase. He is the one that makes things grow. Ultimately, a farmer doesn't make things grow. God makes things grow.
Right. God brings the increase.
He is the one that makes things increase. But how we steward those seeds that are in the ground, how we care for the soil, how we ensure that there is enough light, enough water, enough carbon dioxide, helps to create an increase that is greater than what it would have been had it not been tended to. What you think about that, love?
Absolutely. God brings the increase. There's nothing that you can do to try to multiply anything, okay? There's nothing that you can do. I don't care if you're on Satan's side, it's still going to be false, okay? There's nothing that you can do, okay? It's God. It's up to him. He, King Jesus, is the one that runs it and rules it, okay?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yahushua, also known as Jesus, he runs it. He rules it.
That's like in this verse 9 here, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Have you ever had someone in your life where maybe it was your great grandmother or someone, just think of someone who has passed away. And when you go into that person's house after they're gone, it's just a house. But when they were there, they themselves brought life into that building.
Absolutely.
You get where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
So when it says here, you are God's building, if God is not in you, then it's just a house. It's just a building. But when the Holy Spirit is indwelling you,
hallelujah,
when he is activating his will through your life and you are participating, you are in agreement with that, and you are living and walking according to his spirit, then you become that co-laborer with God. Mm-hmm. You are God's husbandry. You are stewarding,
hallelujah,
the blessings that he is putting through you. But if he is not in you and through you, then it's just a building. You're just a shell without the Holy Spirit within it. He goes on to verse 10 to say, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, this is Paul talking, as a wise master builder, mm-hmm, I have laid the foundation, and another person builds on that foundation. But let every man take heed how he builds on that foundation. For other foundation can no man lay what has been laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if any man builds on this foundation, he could build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or even stubble, which is like dust. every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Now, what translation are you reading from?
This is the King James Version.
The actual King James?
It's the King James Version. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure.
So, let's rewind that back a little bit. And kind
I
of,
thought it was wood, hay, and stubble.
It is wood, hay, stubble.
Okay.
But that stubble is like the sawdust. Mm. That's what stubble is. If you were to grind down straw and it's just that dust that's left over, that's the stubble. So let's rewind this back a little bit and think about this a little bit more. So in verse 10, he's talking about, Paul says, God has given me grace as a wise master builder to lay the foundation, and another builds thereon. So we, if I were to use a modern example of this, I would say Steve Jobs laid the foundation. He was the founder of Apple. So Steve Jobs was the founder of Apple. He's the one that had the initial vision. He's the one that set the initial foundation for the company and what the purpose of the company was and what it could do to better the world or change the world, or if we were to be a little more cynical, just to make money. But he was the founder and he built the foundation. But then he had other people that came along after him, other CEOs, like right now the CEO is Tim Cook, I believe. And they have built upon his foundation. And so now they've come up with many more products. When Steve Jobs first came out, he came out with the Apple Mac Classic, and he came out with the MP3 iPod. He came out with the iPhone. So a lot of these things that we have now, he was the one that laid the foundation for those things. But then Tim Cook and other leadership in the company came later, and now we have Apple Vision Pro, we have Apple AI, which they call Apple Intelligence, we have a lot of other products,
Apple Watches,
Apple Vision. We got all of these things. What that is they have built on the foundation, but they haven't changed the original foundation. They're still doing technological products that benefit humanity. It's still the same foundation, but they're building on that foundation into new products and new ways that they can advance the same vision. So that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying the grace of God has made him able to explain it like we're five, to build this foundation on grace and faith in Christ alone. And he's saying that as a wise master builder, I have laid that foundation, and other people are going to come after me and they're going to build on that foundation, including you as a believer, as you're passing on your knowledge about Christ to other people. But he says, let every man take heed how he builds on this foundation of Christ. What that gets into is don't be going off into false doctrine, and don't be taking people off into things that sound like they're Christian, but really it's New Age, or that sound like it's Christian, but really it's Luciferian or idolatrous at its
idolatry.
Root. He's saying, take heed how you build on this foundation, because no other foundation can no man lay other than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's why I said earlier, you got to be all about Jesus. You got to set aside any bricks in the foundation that do not fit with the foundation that is Jesus Christ and him alone. Mm-hmm. By grace alone, through faith alone, are we saved alone, in Christ alone. That's it. If you're building on some other foundation, it is not the foundation of Christ.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, if any man builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall be declared, because it will be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. There are some folks out here that they're building on the foundation of Jesus, but really all it's about is getting tithe money every week. And they spend more time talking about, oh, you got to give so that God will give into you.
That ain't nothing but serving Satan. That's all about them. Satan, mammon, it's all about. That's what it's about. Greed, Satan, mammon, the whole enchilada.
So he's saying you could build with gold, with silver, with precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Each one of those are different components, and each one is more valuable than the next, and each one is stronger than the next, and each one has a different purpose than the next. There are some houses that I would build with wood. Get me some 2x4s and let's build something. There are some houses you can build with hay and with stubble. There's a procedure that people can build now with something called hempcrete or hemp concrete. Literally, you take the hemp stalks and you grind them down into a paste, and then you can make building, you can make walls with it. Mm-hmm. There are some people
just
that,
like you can make igloos.
There absolutely some people build with ice or with snow, and they pack those things into form-shaped blocks. There are some places that have built their places with gold or silver or precious stones. Mm-hmm. You can see some places over in...
King Solomon did that.
You can see some places over in Dubai and other places. Literally, their whole building is built with gold and stones, and they got gold-plated cars, and so they use gold as a building material.
We're talking about that soft gold, that real gold, that soft with not a lot of... They don't have no metal in it at all.
And it's very expensive to build those sorts of buildings with those materials. So you can build things with expensive materials that are built to last, or you can build a building with just slapping it up with stuff that looks like wood, but it ain't really wood. Mm-hmm. You've seen that. Like you buy a little piece of IKEA furniture and ain't nothing but molded together press board, and
that's what
it's real cheap and it breaks.
Press board.
That's what he's getting at here, is that when you are building your foundation in Christ and you are building your ability to reflect Christ to the world, are you giving it your best? Are you building it with gold and silver and precious stones? Or are you just kind of cheaply, just kind of, well, you know, I go to church and that's good. You know, I believe in Jesus and that's good enough. But I'm not really in my word. I'm not really praying. I'm not really consulting the Holy Spirit for my decisions.
You're not fasting at all. You're not fasting when you know that you need to have those things underfoot. You're not fasting. Some things come out through what? Fasting and praying.
I'm not really doing I'm doing the minimum and I'm going through the motions, but I'm not investing very much into it. Like a slumlord does not invest very much into keeping the buildings up. He wants that rent. He gonna make that rent go up every month, but he's not really investing anything to make that property be all it could be, right?
Mice, rats, stuff.
So that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying the foundation is Jesus Christ, but what are you building on that foundation?
Yes.
Are you truly investing in your relationship with Christ, or are you just doing the minimum to keep it going like a slumlord, but you're not really investing your all into your relationship with the Lord? He's saying that when that fire comes, it's going to be revealed by fire, and it will try every man's work for what sort it is. If any man's work abides that he is built upon, he will receive a reward. If it can withstand the fire, you'll receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. So what he's saying here is that, yeah, if you do the minimum of your relationship with Jesus, yeah, you saved. You barely made it in. But you will not receive any rewards at all because you're going to suffer loss. Mm-hmm. It is hard to serve Jesus softly. And it's easy to serve. It's hard to serve Jesus easy. It's easy to serve Jesus hard because the reward is there and it will be tried by fire. And when your faith really counts, when it really matters, when you must keep your eyes only on him or you are not going to make it, that is being tried by fire, and you will receive a reward on the other side of that. But if you're just going through the motions and you're not really building that foundation, you're not really investing in your relationship with Christ, when the fire comes, you might make it through the fire, but you're going to suffer loss, is what it says here. And there are so many things that I really want to say about this, because things are coming. We are in the last days and things are coming.
I don't believe they're coming. All the stuff that you're talking about, Jackie, is here, Lady J. It's here. It's here right now. Y'all think, I got another 2 years. I got three. I got 20. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that. If you don't have King Jesus, you have nothing. Because when you die, your soul will be required of you. That right then and there. This thing is serious. Things have, we talk about, oh, things are collapsing. They're not collapsing. They have already collapsed. You just don't know it if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. You just don't know it.
I feel a little bit like Paul, that, you know, I'm in explain it like I'm five mode, because because there are things coming and you don't really necessarily need to know all the meat.
Yeah, because Walmart just locked stocks. Walmart just went down. All this stuff. But you're just smoking your weed and, oh, you're just medicating yourself. Oh, I'm get on this. Oh, I'm just, man. Just watching porn. Okay? This, and you're going to sit there and be stroking your thing, and King Jesus is going to pass you right back, right by.
It's a family show now.
But what I'm saying is, it's that real. It's that real. And some of you out here just playing games. You're thinking that you're saying you're on Jesus' side. You're not on King Jesus' side. You are on Satan's side. Satan, it said your father, the devil, that's your father, Satan. He's your father. Let me tell you something. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire if you don't get yourself and say, you know what, I better come to terms with some things. Unless, by the way, you might, I should have said this, you might be on Satan's team because you love him, you like him. You might be there. So guess what? Be where you're going to be and suffer the consequence, because I'm telling you now, King Jesus is definitely going to defeat Satan. Yeah, I don't care if you think he's the god of this world and all that. Go ahead on with your bad self. You go ahead. And guess what? He said that Satan is going to be cast into the what? The lake of fire. And it will not be quenched at all. And I apologize, Jackie, for being a little passionate about it, because I just think that people don't understand how we are literally in the last minutes of the fourth quarter. You know how you have a football game and you in the last seconds and the last minutes of the game? That's how close we are right now. That's all I'm gonna say.
So let's continue on with this passage, because I think this is very important and timely for us to consider as we are in these last days. When this says tried by fire, I want to talk for just a moment about what that means. Most things, when you put them in a fire, if they are of certain metals, they're not going to burn up. But if they are of things that are flammable, they will. And that's what he's talking about here. He's saying when you build on this foundation, you want to build with a material that's not going to be burnt up by fire. In order to make gold, they put it in fire because they want to burn away everything. Dross. It's called the dross. Thank you. They want to burn away all of the impurities that are not like gold, so that the gold will be more pure. That's the only way that you can purify gold, is by putting it in a fire. And so Paul is trying to make an analogy here that you want to build in gold, silver, precious stones, because those things don't burn up in the fire. You can put a diamond in a fire and the diamond is going to be there when you put that fire out. You can put precious metals into a fire and they're not going to burn up. But if you put wood, hay, or stubble, which is like sawdust, you put that in the fire, that's going to burn right up. You know, the stubble would basically be like tinder. That's the first thing that will ignite. And then the hay will take a little longer and the wood takes a little longer. But eventually that fire is going to consume the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And we could say that the wood, hay, and stubble will suffer the effects of the fire. And God wants us believers to be fireproof. He wants us to be fire worthy. He wants us to be able to withstand the trials and the temptations and the pressure and the heat that is coming. Because right now we have been set up into a season that is end times worthy, where literally we're facing war from Russia, Iran, China, North Korea. There are things that are happening all around the world that could very easily come to American shores in one way or another. We are facing major natural disasters that have
lasers, all of that.
That have massively affected the food supply. Because if you destroyed the wheat crops last year in a storm or a flood or whatever, that means nothing is going to be available next year. So you might not feel the effects right now if we're tapping into our reserves, but eventually those supply chain collapses, the food shortages that are here, we may not see them right now because we have reserves, but they are coming. We see these drones that have been orbs and all these other things that are in the skies, and lots of speculation about what they are and what they're there for. And they could very well be prompting and preparing us for a worldwide deception.
False aliens.
Without getting into any further details on that, if we were to be confronted with angels and demons who pose as benevolent aliens from somewhere else, saying that they will help us with technology, they will extend our lives, they will cure this hunger, they will protect us from the nuclear war, and they will give us all kind of things. Can you see how so many people will abandon their religion? They will abandon their faith in Jesus. They will put all their faith in these visitors and their technologies.
Robots.
This is what it means when it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the son, days of the coming of the Son of Man. Because that's exactly what happened. And that's what we see in all the ancient hieroglyphs and all of the ancient stories, all of those ancient demigods and Zeus and all of those things. Those were literally the fallen angels that came to produce this deception.
Correct.
God corrected it then. He's going to correct it the next time. But it said the first time he corrected it by water, the next time he's going to correct by fire.
Why fire? Why fire? Why did he say by fire?
Go ahead.
Why did he say by fire? He said that he would not destroy the earth by flood. Because, as you know, there was a great, great flood. This time, because he's tired, Jackie. He's tired.
Well, trial by fire is exactly what I said. Yeah. Fire burns off everything that is not what needs to be left. The precious metal that needs to be left. That's why. He has to get rid of everything that is not like him. And this worldwide deception... How many Christians and how many 501c3 pastors are going to be like, well, God sent these aliens to us, and we had our religion wrong, and we need to change our Bibles, and we need to change. All of that is going to be a worldwide deception. And if they're offering health and technology and food and everything else, can you see how easily the world will be deceived by that?
Lies.
And the fire is going to be you holding firm to your faith in Christ, despite the whole entire world looking and going another direction. Are you building with gold, silver, and precious stones, which won't be burnt up in the fire? Or are you building with wood, hay, and stubble, and your faith is going to be shaken if something like that were to show up and look very convincing and offer things that sound real good to your flesh? He says, to continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up in verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit, the capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Holy means to be set apart for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Mm-hmm. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, all the wisdom of the world, the Neil deGrasse Tysons and the scientists, and which scientism is a religion like any other, because it's all theory and it requires faith for you to believe it. And it actually requires more faith to believe in what they teach than just to simply believe that the almighty intelligent creator God actually created everything and set it in order and set it in motion.
Right.
Anyway, let me keep going. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness.
He used the foolish things to confound the wise.
And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The reason they're vain is because it's all about wanting to put man as the smartest thing in the universe. And we are not smarter than God. Therefore, let no man glory in men, in human beings. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. He belongs to God. So at the end of the day, it's not going to matter what happens in this world. If your foundation is in Christ, your faith is in Christ, and you are investing in and building on your relationship with Christ, so that you'll not be deceived by the craftiness of the world's wisdom. Because they're going to be presenting things that look and sound really good and righteous and godly. They couldn't get everybody deceived by it if it showed itself the way it really was. But when these things happen and society changes, the one thing that is constant, and I'm going to leave you with this, is Jesus Christ is constant. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to end it up with that verse. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's in Hebrews. I'm going to pull it up.
Sorry,
my little typing there.
Wish we could play that song, Jesus the Same, yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Jesus existed before. He existed now. He exists in the future. And he is always the same. He is loving. He's desiring that we have a relationship with him. Here it is. I believe it's Hebrews 13:8. Here it is. Let's jump on there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This is Hebrews 13, verse 8. But what I want you to be reminded of is not only that, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the very next verse, it says, be not carried away or carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. But not be carried about by diverse and strange doctrines. Now, there's a specific context that he's referring to there. But not only does he say Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever, but then the very next thing he says is don't be carried away by strange and diverse doctrines. Okay. There's a lot of things that are vying for your theological attention, but all you really need to know is Jesus Christ, him crucified and him resurrected, and he is coming again. He loves you. And all you must do to receive the gift of salvation is to believe. It's as simple as that. And that's really all I'm going to talk about today. So wrapping that up, if you enjoyed this message, I'm sure glad that you did. I'm glad you tuned in. You could have spent and invested your time with anyone else, but you chose to spend it on this broadcast, and I appreciate you, and I love you very much for that. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, there's two ways to do that. The first way to do that is to tune into our morning show, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. We rebroadcast this live. The second way to do it is to go to our website, mindhisbusiness.com, mindhisbusiness.com. www.thehumanhisbusiness.com. We upload every episode that we do right there on the website. So if you missed something or you wanted to hear something again or something intrigued you, you can go back and listen to all the past episodes right on our website, mindhisbusiness.com. And of course, follow the radio station at Gospel Music Omaha on all your favorite social platforms. Follow this show at Mind His Business on all your favorite social platforms. And tell somebody about 100.3 FM Gospel Music Omaha. We are here. We ain't going nowhere. And we love the Lord and we love you.
Maybe you can shout that out a little bit more about Gospel Music Omaha, that we can be found on your FM.
That's right.
People don't.
100.3 FM.
Yeah.
If you KCG, are
KCUG, yes.
If you're not in the Omaha area or you're in a place where the reception is a little lower, you can check us out and listen to the simulcast on internet.
Download
on your
it.
Phone.
Oh, sweet baby
we
Jesus.
We brought Wolverine, our barn cat, here today, and he decided he wanted to crash. You crash in the session? Come on. We told y'all about Wolverine, the barn cat, a few weeks ago. He helps us with the mice on the property. Anyway.
He's big. Look at him. Why don't you put him up here?
Here.
Might as well.
Show everybody.
Down that you done got
show
up here.
Show everybody Wolverine.
No, put his back feet up
there
here.
There you go.
They need to see his whole body.
Show everybody Wolverine.
Put his whole body up there, Jackie. Thank you. Look how big he is, y'all.
Yeah, Wolverine is.
He's huge. Yeah.
Okay, you stay right here. Wolvie,
ouch.
Stay here. Let me finish this off. Anyway, the radio station, tell people, 100.3 FM, if you have content that you would like to have on the radio station, you can go to gospelmusicomaha.com. You can hear our broadcast simulcast right there. If you have a show that you'd like to host your own show, go to gospelmusicomaha.com/show. And if you have an event that's coming up and you want to get advertising for your event, go to gospelmusicomaha.com/show. Ads.
I like the way you have rebuilt it. So before, you know, it used to take a long time to be able to put things on there, but now
easy peasy.
Yeah. Can you tell them a little bit about that?
I just did. Go to the website.
Well, no, I'm saying explain that you've done it's so quick because of the categories.
Yeah. Just select what you want and it will do all the calculations for you and then you can upload your
content.
It'll
tell you the price.
That's the end of that.
It'll tell you the price and it'll tell you also if it's free.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So we out of here. We're about to go and get some dinner. I can't wait. I'm hungry.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So this is Lady J.
And this is Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.